Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes are telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Villain, right here. It's the Caller's Cookout. Villain versus the hero. TP Timeless. Where good always wins. I don't know why, but I mean, listen. Every good hero needs a villain, and that's what the villain is. I'm a good villain. I'm a good villain. But the call in number 929-477-2759. You could be anywhere in the world, but you decided to chill with the chefs and get a plate, get cooking, and get your belly full of some sports talk. So I'm here for you. I'm here to save you, unlike everybody else. I'm here to save you. They say I'm a villain, but I'm here for you. I'm here for the people. But I got the main man himself, the head honcho, the boss man, a Sports City Chefs in the building, TP Timeless. TP, what's going on, brother?
I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. You already know how this thing go down. A lot of stuff getting electric while we get ready to get in front of these NBA finals. A lot of sports stuff to jump into. Got new people, new faces around Sports City. I feel like we're just getting warm. We even got the merch coming around. They got me sitting at the edge of my seat waiting for mine, but it's okay. Don't worry. I actually got a special request, but don't worry. It's okay. This is what the villains do. And the crazy part about the villain and their family, right, because as the villain is sitting there listening, yo, he is cheesing real hard. I could tell you right now, he's smiling like a first-rate picture day on everything. I'm telling you. I know him. I know him like the back of my hand. So we're going to get into it the best way we can. It's the Caller's Cookout. Settled on down. Call in if you got a question or a comment or something that you want to bring up that we throw up on the grill. I'm feeling some type of way. How are you doing, Mr. Bill?
I'm doing great, man. It's been a busy day. It's a hot day. It's a heat wave going on in parts of the country. So I hope everybody's safe and survive the heat. But we got a lot of heat coming in this kitchen. So, I mean, if you're hot outside, I don't know what to tell you. But you're in the right place for more heat, you know what I'm saying? But I got more people to bring in. I got our other lead player. I guess he's like a fake villain. You know, I mean, I don't know what to call this guy, TP. I mean, he comes after the villain all the time. It's personal, but it's kind of like an infatuation, I think it is. I think he loves the villain so much he has to come at him so he doesn't look so obvious. But, yeah, I'll call in from the 703. My main man, Malik's father, Sirius, Aaron Simmons in the building. Sirius, what's going on, baby?
What up, my man? Such a pleasure to be here with you. Tyonis, what's up, my dude? Villain, I can't stand you. I hate your guts. I hope all the bad things happen to you. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying about the situation. You know what I'm saying?
You see what I mean? See what I mean, TP? He loves the villain. What would he say if I wasn't here? Be like, oh, hi, TP. How you doing? I love you, man. And he had nothing else bad to say. He needs a villain to be mean to. He needs that in his life because he knows how the Rockets doing.
The same as the Knicks right now. We all sit at home chilling.
I don't know. We not in that draft lottery. I know that. Anyway, I love you, Sirius. Don't worry, brother. I know it's all, bro. I know you missed the villain. You missed me. You missed me. And then call it out at 970.
What? No,
go ahead,
man sitting here getting ready to pop pills like Bill Cosby. Whatever, man. What's up? Get the next man in here.
Hey, listen, don't talk about Bill Cosby. He free like OJ all day, every day. So, like, come on now. He got out. He's out.
I said on the barbershop. I said on the barbershop, if the glove don't fit.
You must have quit.
I'm done.
Exactly.
I'm done.
I guess it was because that case should have never went to trial. He got out of. Listen, he's free like OJ every day. But calling in from the 970 from Colorado. I'm from the Colorado area. We got Big E, Eazy-E, Eric Gross in the building. Eric, what's going on, brother?
Serious villain, timeless. What's up, my brothers? Excited to be here on another episode of the Caller's Cookout.
We here, man. We happy to have you, man. Good to hear from you. We miss you. But yeah, man. Listen, I don't want to derail, so I'm gonna get right to it. I know we got a lot of main courses to go through, but I did want to bring up this little appetizer that came through not only a couple hours ago, but we'll start with college sports. Not I was gonna say college football, but it's more college sports in general. The big headline came out a couple hours ago. The NCAA, and, you know, double A can stand for a couple of things. But they clear the way for student athletes to make money off of their name, their likeness, and their images by approving basically an endorsement deal. The board of directors decided to officially suspend the rules for prohibiting athletes to sell their rights to their names. So I think starting tomorrow, NCAA players are able to make endorsements. I think there's more litigation that has to go on for I think the whole kind of stipend thing. But I mean, now players are basically in the driver's seat to make money off their likeness. So I want to definitely get your guys' opinion. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but since this is such a big topic and it just came off a couple hours ago, I did want to throw this around the kitchen. So, TP Timeless, I'll start with you. You know, you are a Hoya fan, a Hurricane fan. So, you know, we are fans of college sports in here. Tell me about your feelings on the NCAA basically you know, a long time coming, paving the way for athletes to start making money in college.
I mean, it's a giant leap for college sports, to say the least. But I'm still concerned about it. Mm-hmm. They are already making sure that they walk a fine line on how much they are going to pay these players. Universities pull in millions. I wish Nas was available to get in here because Nas really – I love
yeah,
his breakdown
too.
On ice. These universities pull in millions of dollars and how much they're going to try to give these kids is still going to be funny. I feel like it's going to be cents on a dollar, however it goes down. It's not like they're going to give them what the university ends up pulling in. So they're still lab rats at the point in time. And I'm saying that because this is how they view people and things of that nature. Make me feel like you do care about the student athlete. It's already bad that you have these families in financial grinds until they turn 45, 47 years old. So that's the one thing I think about. And again, it's like, how long do they walk this fine line of, oh, we're going to do this until year 4, year 10, year 12? Like, how long are they going to do this? Because these people are going to line their pockets and they're going to get fat off of this money that they pull in regardless. So I'm still watching all the interesting stuff. I mean, this is one giant leap for the student athlete. I wish it was there when we were around, but at least it's something. But right now, I'm glad that the evolving that is happening across the board in sports. Like, for a long time, they watched them get rich and watch people continue to struggle throughout their lives. So this is interesting, but still, again, I'm still watching this closely until they do the right thing, Spike Lee.
Yeah. You know, and you bring up a great point because it's not like they're going to give a piece of their pie to the athletes. From what I understand with this ruling, and guys, help me if I'm wrong, they can make money off their likeness. So they have to go out and, you know, create endorsement deals with like shoe companies or jerseys or t-shirts or whatever and sell their name if they have a nickname or they have their name on a jersey or the t-shirt or something. It's not like they're going into the NCAA's pot and taking their money. they're just able to make money off of themselves, off of their name and likeness. So to your point, you know, it's like they still got their hands all on the pot, on that pot of gold, and they're not sharing it. They're just letting the players say, oh, if you can find your money, go get it, and we're not going to take it from you, and then, you know, hold your school accountable for it. So that's kind of what I got out of this. But you're right, it's a long time coming. Sirius, I want your opinion on this. I want you to chime in about the NCAA ruling allowing players, athletes, male and female, to make money off of their likeness, their name, and their image.
You know, it's about damn time, if you ask me. My biggest thing is, you know, like TP alluded to, and like so many other, you know, people who have graced these airways have already said, you know, the NCAA is one of the last, you know, legal slave trades that we have. You know what I'm saying? These men and women go out there and, you know, risk, you know, their livelihood, their bodies, you know, you just think about the amount of money that these schools have made, you know, on the backs of these players. Just think about the amount of the money these coaches have made on the backs of these players. And then you, NCAA, decide to penalize, you know, a player for getting money, however he or she does it, whether it's, you know, selling some merchandise or whether they're going up to the local Walmart and, you know, bagging groceries or whatever the heck they're doing, they're getting penalized for making some money. So this is a long time coming. You know, I said this before, we got to crawl before we run. I know there's a lot of stuff that needs to be ironed out. I know, you know, this is nowhere near where it needs to be as far as the amount of money and whatever the case may be. As far as being an integral part, you know, and kind of getting their hand in the pocket, if you will. But I think this will go a long way, in my opinion, into preparing these collegiate athletes, you know, to manage their money properly. This can be another skill that these men and women can get before they get to the big leagues and, you know, get, you know, mega $1 million and then they blow it. Don't have anything left over. You know, so many times, you know, these men and women are not taught that. These men and women have no concept of what it's like to, you know, make money off of their name or off of their skill, you know what I'm saying, at the collegiate level. And they get to the next level and, you know, they get a blank check, so to speak, and then, you know, you're shocked when they, you know, blow their money, or they're spending money stupid, or they're not investing their money and making their money work for them. If you give them the opportunity to do that at the collegiate level, you know, by the time they get to the next level, they would already have that skill set, you know, at least, you know, in their bag. They would already at least understand the business side of the sport and the business side of making their money work for them. So I applaud the NCAA for finally coming around. I applaud them for allowing these players to do something and to make some money, or, you know, to not necessarily work for free. So I'll leave it at that. I can keep going, but I'll let somebody else talk. But this is a giant step towards where I think they need to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they had a choice. You know what I mean? The states basically came out and started ruling that, you know, through litigation, that, you know, these players are entitled to this money that we all say that they should be getting. So, I agree with you. It's a long time coming, but let's not act like the NCAA double assholes. I mean, athletics, whatever you want to call it. Sorry. like, they're doing some benevolent thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, We know the game. They had no choice. They got put into a corner and they had to pay up. So it is what it is. Eric, I want your opinion on this, and then we can move forward on the NCAA coming out with the ruling today that, you know, basically allows athletes to make money off their likeness, their name, and such. So the floor is yours, brother.
Yeah, this is something that should have been done since day one in NCAA. This is, you're right, this is a legal slave trade going on. This is a legal extortion ring and a legal sweatshop all wrapped into one. Okay, and I know a lot of people in the sports card industry and a lot of these college athletes, you know, to come in, this is a good thing now, they'll be able to go to these signings. There's a lot of them, though, we can't go to these signings for you because we'll get in trouble through the NCAA. And that's ridiculous, you know what I mean? So now these guys will be able to get their name out. They'll be able to, you know, make money. But this is something that should have been at the beginning of time. The NCAA, I'm not giving any credit here to, because, I mean, yeah, it's obviously a good thing they're getting something. But when you put in things into perspective, okay, it's like the NFL, billions of dollars. The NCAA college football generates billions of dollars. They got all these bowl games that are getting paid by all these sponsors. They're literally getting billions of dollars. And these NFL players, professional sports players, the reason they get these big paydays is because of the money that's involved in this. The NCAA is hoarding all this money. They have these kids, blood, sweat, and tear, going out here. People like Nick Saban have become multi-millionaires off of these kids' backs and these kids' work. And it's not right. They need to be giving a piece of pie to every student athlete that plays, because we all know, how many superstars are there really on one team, on any given team, that is actually going to be out and be able to capitalize off this new deal? So it's still an extortion ring. It's still a legal slave trade, because they're still getting all their money. It's not coming out of their pocket. So there's still a major issue that needs to be dealt with, because, like I said, the billions of dollars. This is like the NFL players. Hey, okay, we're gonna pay you peanuts to play this game, and you're going to generate us millions of dollars, billions of dollars, but we're only going to give you guys $100,000 a year or something. And the NCAA, these kids are getting nothing from that. So it's not fair. It should be a non-for-profit organization. This is university. This is schooling here. This is education. And they have turned this into a giant extortion racketeering ring, and it's not right. And there's still a lot of work to do in the NCAA. But at least some of these, you know, guys can get they can go out and make their own, you know, because nothing's ever guaranteed. We've seen a lot of these players, unbelievable college players, and then come to the pros and flop, get injured. I mean, there's so many different variables that can happen. And a lot of these other individuals, they don't even get to that level. So, I mean, it's not fair. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done here.
Yeah, and I want to throw this out before we move on. Like, and anybody can answer it. Like, so obviously there has to be rules in place, you know, to how to disperse the money if they do come out of their pocket. Because again, they're letting the players go out and get their own money. So eventually they're going to have to pay the players, because the players are going to argue we're generating money for the university. So how are they going to come up with the rules, like from male to female? Is it going to be a blanket stipend that everybody's equal pay? Is it going to go by the level of player? Is the money between each sport the same? Do you cap the schools by the size, or do you cap them by Division One, Division Two, Division Three? Because then Alabama has a distinctive advantage over like Eastern Michigan, because they can recruit and say, hey, if you come to Alabama, you can make more money for yourselves as opposed to going to Eastern Michigan. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
how do you police the Pandora's box that now is open for the fact that now you, when you're starting to pay and have you're going to have a pay scale, how do you police it so that, you know, the little guy can compete with the big guy?
I think plain and simple would be just a percentage across the board for everybody, a percentage for each school. I mean, yeah, Division One's going to get more than the lower divisions. That's just obvious because we got all these bowl games that are generating this money. But it should be a flat-out percentage. There's too much other stuff going on if you're going to base it off player, school, and performance. You have an unfair advantage, like you said. They need to do a flat-out percentage and just pay the percentage off the profits to all the players.
Serious. Go ahead, brother.
Well, you know what? Honestly, I don't think it's going to be that complicated because here's the deal. If you're a player, okay, who let's say you do get lucky enough to go to Alabama, you know what I'm saying? You're going to be exposed a lot more than the Eastern Michigan guy. So I don't necessarily believe that it should be a flat rate because let's keep it a buck. You know, all three of us work a 9-to-5 job, you know what I'm saying? And we all don't make the same, you know what I'm saying? Now, we all, you know, do different things, but when it comes to basketball, you know what I'm saying, they're all doing the same thing, but the guy in Eastern Michigan isn't getting the same exposure as the guy at UCLA and vice versa. So I think, honestly, it's the same situation. You know, if you're lucky enough to go to, you know, Alabama for football, then, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, you get more exposure, which means your profit margin and your influence is significantly greater than the next. Why is Patrick Beverly killing this? What the hell? Anyway, so but,
cooking him.
You know what I'm saying? He's single-handedly keeping him in the game right now. So your likability and your influence is significantly higher, depending upon you know where you go. So again, I disagree at the flat rate, but honestly, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how we got here. We are here now. I am applauding that aspect of it.
Okay. TP, do you have an opinion or do you want to move on?
No, we're good. I think we touched on every base of that situation. I'm good on that. We just have to wait and see what the future holds on everything from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And now a lot of these organizations and powers that be are being held accountable. So that's the thing we need to watch out for from here on in.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, let's move on. I think it's going to be more to come, especially after tomorrow when the, you know, quote-unquote, you know, time frame is lifted and the players can start making their moves. I think I saw one player actually tweet out a shoe or a T-shirt or something like that. So they're ready. They're ready to go. They're locked and loaded, and good for them. I hope, you know, and I hope they – you know what? I honestly hope they apologize to players like Chris Webber and company that – you know, yeah, they took money, but or gifts or what have you, or whatever happened. I'm not saying Chris Webber did, but you know, players in the past that did. You know what? They were in their rights too, man, because they earned that money, and they should have, you know, they should be apologized to. So we'll see. But yeah, moving on. I did want to touch on the injuries in the NBA playoffs because I know Sirius had a opinion on that, but I'm going to get to that in a minute, Sirius. Trust me. I just want to I have to talk about what happened a couple days ago. Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson. Scottie Pippen trying to I don't know if he's trying to sell his book or is he exposing the truth, but basically coming out and slamming Phil Jackson. As a racist, basically, you know, claiming that, you know, when he designed that play in the Eastern Conference semis, 1994, game three for Tony Kukoc, it was a racial move instead of the fact that Tony Kukoc had hit game winners like that all season, and it was just they needed to win the game. And basically Pippen goes on to accuse Michael Jordan of, you know, looking for the camera for when Steve Kerr hit that shot in game one of the 97 NBA Finals and that, you know, he called Jordan selfish for leaving basketball in 1993 when everybody knows, I mean, under the covers, like basically he was suspended for a year and a half for gambling. Whatever. So Phil Jackson's a racist, Michael Jordan's selfish, and Scottie Pippen's clapping back after the last dance. TP Timeless, I'll come to you first. I mean, are you believing anything Scottie Pippen has to say right now? Do you think his claims are basically founded or are they baseless?
I really look at Scottie's situation as a reach, a stretch. It's bad that money will change people, man. And knowing that you're using every strand that you can to, like, get publicity or whatever you're trying to do to get this book to sell, it's at the expense of other people for you. to be in 2021 to call Michael Jordan out about being a sidekick at this point in time. Every single body that is in this doggone cookout right now knows that you were the sidekick, or you were the cohort, or you were the tandem. However you, whatever. If somebody used the word sidekick and you take that offensively, okay, dude, you have more rings than a lot of people have in their NBA career. You have six championships because you were with Mike. However you put it, you are famous because Mike was with you. You can't sit here and act like you're the better player. You're not better than Michael Jordan. I'm going to literally say that right now. If you feel some type of way, call into the show, 929-477-2759. We could debate this. I'll go tooth and nail with the argument. You're not better than Michael Jordan, so stop it. So you are the sidekick, or you are the tandem, you are the duo, however you look at it. So now you want to do this, what, the last time they played was 98, so 23 years later, you're coming up with a story, and then all of a sudden, 23 years later, you're talking about Phil Jackson being racist when his two best players in both of his runs were Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Shaquille O'Neal, and Kobe Bryant, and you know you guys had intricate conversations with him, and he's in that zen mode and focuses on spirits and things of that nature. You think he worried about flesh? Like I don't believe it. Like if that's the case, then where Mike at? Like you are that significant, Scotty, that Mike should be saying something. Like Mike should be out there. Mike don't even want to get caught up in his madness, or Shaq don't want to get caught up in his madness. Like, but where is Shaq at? Like, somebody need to speak up to back Scotty up, or all of the other players of color, whether it's Rick Fox or Robert Horry or Horace Grant, John Sally. I'm trying to think of the Lakers run, or Scott Williams or Stacey King, B.J. Armstrong. I need one of them. I need one of them to speak up. One of them. And probably the only one I think that might help Scotty is Horace Grant because of the way things happened when he left Chicago. Other than that, Scotty stopped, and I'm mad that his money is making you look like this. And the worst part about it is Scotty's doing everything. Like, Scotty not only got a book coming out, he's also got weed out there on the sale, too, out there in California. So he's diving into everything. So it's like, it was you that signed that bum deal while you were in Chicago. Now you're doing everything to stay relevant to keep money afloat, which I understand. You're human. You have to make it happen. But don't do this at other people's expense when they're blindly getting surprised by you doing this and you up there with that goofy smile like, yeah, I'm going to get away with it, and it ain't too much people can say to me because I ain't going to defend myself or go crazy about the situation. So it's ridiculous.
I couldn't agree more, and it's like, you know, to your point, he said something about Kobe Bryant where how Phil Jackson set him up or something like that, and like, Kobe's not here to defend himself. Like, really? Like, listen, we all know, like, when Phil Jackson came out and said the posse thing about LeBron James, and then it was like, oh, he's racist. But now you're like, you waited this long, and coincidentally, when you're selling your book, to really just come out and not even say that he's racist. Dan Patrick came back and said, you know, what you're saying is going to amount to people saying that you're saying that he's racist. He's like, I don't have a problem with that. So basically, like, you're not shying away from that comment. And then you come out and say, Michael Jordan felt like he could do whatever he wanted to do. Yeah, pretty much. Like, I don't know what the problem is. Like, he's Michael, you're Scotty. Serious, talk to me. Scottie Pippen, I know you heard about it. I'd love to get your opinion on it. You know, do you believe his claims about Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson, or do you think this is, you know, like we're kind of alluded to, a money grab to sell his book?
You know what? I'm not going to waste too much time on this. I think all of us sitting here are in lockstep, and if you're not in lockstep, then you definitely need to call in because you got to have words for you. There is no way on God's green earth, you know, that Scotty honestly believes what he's saying. I think he's trying to sell his book, which is why I think he's going at everybody he can try to go at to try to gain some traction here. So with that being said, I'm going to yield the rest of my time on this subject to somebody else, man, because this is the phone that's going to stick with.
Thanks. Eric, go ahead. Sirius gave up the floor, which is a first. Which is a first, because Sirius never gives up the floor. But go ahead. I'd love to get your opinion, since you're a Laker fan and you've all seen Phil coach your team exclusively for a couple years.
this is lunacy here. Robert Horry came out and defended Phil Jackson and said that's ridiculous. He's not a racist. And, just because he made one to have another guy take a shot, it sounds like Scottie Pippen was sad about that play. Saying it's racially motivated was ridiculous. The Zen master doesn't care about flesh, like you said, villain. Absolutely not. This guy was a phenomenal basketball coach, and he coached some of the greats. And, for him to come out and say this is just ridiculous. It's a publicity stunt for sure, because – any good or negative attention is good in people like Scottie Pippen's shoes. He's probably going to take a lot of flack for this. I think Robbie Odorizzi is going to be the first of many players coming out, or they're going to be like us, like we don't want to waste too much time on it because it is lunacy.
Yeah, that's the point. Like, if you want to listen, Unguarded, Scottie Pippen's new book, available on all shelves. Go through Simon and Schuster. They're the ones that printed it. I mean, that's all you want. If that's what you want, just go say that. Because, I don't understand. Like, no, I don't think anybody's going to believe you. You need more people. Like, Jordan selfish because he quit. No, we know why he didn't play basketball for that year and a half. We all know. Because it was gambling. It was a quiet suspension. Like, you're the one that decided not to go back into the game and sit on the bench and sulk in game three because somebody else got the shot. We know you were the All-Star Game MVP that year. You were having a great year. You were, I think, in the top five in the MVP voting. But you decided to put yourself above the team. Michael Jordan didn't do that. You did. Nope. You're the one that didn't want to play in game seven against the Pistons. You're the one that got hurt. You're the one that delayed your surgery in 98 because you didn't want to – you wanted to screw everybody else. You said that. No, nobody else did it. You did it. So we don't believe you, Scotty. Thanks for playing. But anyway, I'm going to go move forward with the NBA injuries because, another superstar went down. Two superstars in the Eastern Conference Finals, Trae Young and Giannis Antetokounmpo, went down. Giannis's injury, if I look, they said it's not there's no structural damage to the knee, but they're going to do more tests on that. Almost looked really ugly, that injury, when he hyperextended it last night against the Hawks in game four, which was a runaway either way with him or without in the game. LeBron was alluding to it a little less than a month ago. We kind of touched on it, but we didn't really get a chance to get into it in the kitchen, so I definitely want to throw it around that, injuries are basically a product of, turning around the season very quickly and players not getting enough rest. Shaq actually came out and refuted that claim, basically coming out and saying, you get paid millions of dollars to work out for a couple hours and then play a couple hours. And there's a lot of theories back and forth. So, Sirius, I'll start with you because I know you had a hot take on it. The floor is yours about the NBA playoffs, the injuries, a lot of superstars going down with injuries, not only these two, but, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, who's beefing now with the Clippers, the medical staff, and so forth and so on. Talk to me about these injuries, Sirius.
Honestly, man, I think it's much ado about nothing. Okay? And here's why. These players get hurt, on a freak accident. And yep. Because Giannis came down wrong, the start of the NBA season is now in question. Because Trae, just so happened to get an ankle twist by running into an official, it's a problem. Same situation with Kyrie, you know, same situation with, you know, name that star, you know, Chris Paul got in the COVID protocol, but it's because the league started when it did. Honestly, man, these are unfortunate situations. And, you know what I'm saying? And I refuse to sit there and let, you know, the integrity of these playoffs be overshadowed by somebody using a story as clickbait or somebody trying to make something about nothing. Because let's keep it a buck, okay? If the Brooklyn Nets would have advanced, this would be a non-issue. You know what I'm saying? If LeBron James and the LA Lakers would have advanced, the fact that AD got hurt and LeBron got hurt would have been a non-issue, but they didn't. So now we want to blame something else. We want something else to be the fall guy for injuries happening. Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't want to be hurt, if you don't want to run a risk of injuries, hang up your shoes, sign your paperwork, and go sit in a booth somewhere and do TV. This is the NBA effing playoffs, okay? We all had the same playing field. We all had the same level playing field. I played on messed up knees. I played on messed up ankles. If I got hurt, so be it. But at the end of the day, everybody had the same situation, you know what I'm saying? And because these teams, unfortunately, are on the verge of being bounced or already bounced, this is the problem. Here's the issue with Kawhi Leonard. This is the second organization, okay, that Kawhi Leonard has had a quote-unquote beef with due to his care. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because let's not forget what happened in San Antonio. Let's not forget about
exactly.
That. So is the issue with, you know, the quote-unquote care or the issue with Kawhi Leonard? This is the first time since he's injured that he's actually sat on the bench. He's on the bench tonight. This is the first time since his injury that he's actually sat on the bench with his teammates. You know what I'm saying? So Kawhi Leonard, in my opinion, is another head case altogether off the floor. But let's not try to use the fact that, you know, he has an MCL, ACL. I'm not even sure what his injury is at this point, as something that can be used to discredit the playoffs. Now, we got four teams that have yet to, you know, hasn't won a ring in a long time. We got four teams that are battling tooth and nail. These games are close, and, you know, we got, you know, storylines up the wazoo, and you want to sit there and try to overshadow us because of the start of the season? You're doing the most, man. You're doing the most. Tighten up.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, Eric, I'll come to you. I'll save you for last, TP Timeless. Eric, I mean, do you agree with Sirius's take about, you know, the injuries just really, you know, being crying wolf, crying to the wind? Or do you think there is a correlation with the start of the season being in December after the playoffs were over and, you know, these injuries that are happening now at the end of the season?
100% I agree with Sirius, and here's why. Just to elaborate off what he said, and to add this, basketball is an extremely physical sport. A lot of people, you know, oh, football is the most physical sport. Well, guess what? Basketball is right up there because these guys, you got to be in extreme cardio condition to be doing this. They're running up the court. They're banging with bodies. You're moving your body constantly, doing moves. So, this is a extremely physical league. And injuries happen every year. To blame it on, oh, because the year started, like, okay, so if it would have started on time or it's normal time, this the play that happened to Giannis, oh, it's not going to happen, his knee's going to be fine. I mean, come on, let's get real here. Injuries happen in basketball every year. This is an extremely physical sport, and it's going to happen. So it's just the way it is. It's unfortunate, but we see it year in and year out. I mean, it's the way it is. The list goes on. Look at with Kobe Bryant, what happened with him. This guy was an extreme conditioned athlete, always in the gym training. The season started on time or, you know, normal there, and look what happened to him towards the end of the season. So it doesn't matter. I mean, if they were doing a season and then only having a month rest or something like that, and did that year in and year out, then maybe it'd cause a problem because the sport is so physical and, you know, you do need some time to rest. But to say that is ridiculous. So, like you said, the integrity, you know, you're trying to bash the integrity, and then the casual fan or people that don't know, they're like, oh, yeah, and then they buy into this stuff. It's ridiculous. But us true sports fans know it's what happens. It's a part of the game. Injuries are unfortunate, and it's unfortunate, but look at these guys. They're going out there and giving it their all, and it happens. So they need to stop that with that. LeBron James needs to just, I mean, keep his mouth shut because he's been saying a lot of off-the-wall things lately.
I mean, when doesn't he say anything off the wall? I mean, he's more off the wall than Michael Jackson right now. You know, TP, I'll bring it to you, man. I'd love to get your opinion on this. You know, these NBA playoff injuries, is LeBron right or is he wrong? Is there a correlation with the start of the season being in December? Or is he just a baseless claim that he's trying to support his own argument that, you know, he needed more rest and that's the only reason he was injured?
I mean, he's right. I mean, he is right. Like, the injuries did hurt this season for LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want people to do? Like you wanted this season to start as soon as possible in December. You actually wanted this to happen. So they had to try to condense this schedule as best as possible so you guys can start back on time in the year of 2021 and 22 season. So everything that happened is because you guys agreed upon it. You guys didn't know that you guys are professional athletes. You guys move at an alarming speed where a lot of this stuff is going to happen to you guys. So it did decimate the season, but come on. What do you think? You guys are robots? Like, so that's the bad part about it. It's bad that injuries have happened. I watched my whole team go from being in a playoff hunt to finally settling down and having to settle into tanking and getting the best pick that they can because they got so many of them. So it's happened all across the board. And I think more or less LeBron's situation is because he's bitter, because he's not in NBA final talk. He's not even in conference for talk. Like, this is 2 out of the last 3 years that he's been irrelevant postseason-wise. So he's given some other explanation, whether the first time was with Luke Walton running the show. They got Luke Walton out of there. Now the injuries hurt him with him and AD. And we look at the time, you know, the sand in the glass for him, how much time is left for him. So, I mean, you got injuries on teams that are playing right now, Trey, Capella. You also got Giannis in his injury situation. But as brutal as this statement is, the next man up has to happen, even though it's not the ideal start that you're thinking of. But they have to go out there and ball at the end of the day. So, rightfully so, the Lakers are out. He feels a certain way. He has more time than ever to address the media, things of that nature. And we're seeing it happen every level, whether Kawhi's out or, you know, Chris Paul had missed time due to the COVID. Everybody's going through this. It's not just you. It's not just the Lakers. What is you crying going to do? If you're going to cry, then what's the baby going to do?
Wah. Like, good boy. Like, here's what bugs me. It's like the Phoenix Suns, okay? Let's use them as an example, right? They're in the conference finals, right? And congratulations to them. When did their season end last year in the bubble? August. So they had August, September, October, November, December. They had almost 4 months before they started their season, right? A team like the Clippers and the Bucks, they went into the bubble. They went into the play-in tournament in mid-August. They were bounced by September. So they had September, October, November, couple months. Only two teams that made it to the NBA Finals, the Heat and the Lakers, have maybe a gripe to complain about because they played until October, right? Two teams out of all the 30-some-odd teams, right? We're talking about the Hawks. I don't even think they made the bubble. But you had a break from March to August. You had a break. You didn't do anything. You didn't have to do anything. That's a long break. So what kind of rest did you need? I don't understand what we're talking about here. Like, LeBron, it's just, I'll call you the GOAT. Is that going to make you happy? Do you want to be the GOAT? I'll make you the GOAT so you can be happy. Because you, if you don't do it, if you don't win, there's an excuse, a reason why. Because, I mean, I don't understand. Like, we get it. Like, yes, the season started abruptly after the finals, but you and the Heat were the only ones that played into the October. Everybody else had a break. And guess what? All these other teams had a break from March to August. I mean, what are we talking about here? And Sirius is absolutely right. These injuries aren't a product of no rest. We're talking about a player stepping on a referee's foot. What are we talking? Is Kyrie Irving's injury a freak injury or a rest injury? He twisted his ankle jumping. What are we talking about here? What is the problem? You know, Kawhi Leonard, yeah, he's always hurt. That's why you can't bank on him. Like, you blow on him, his knee falls apart. That's what you bought when you got the guy. We know what we're getting into. It's not and you're right. It's like, this isn't the first time he's blamed, you know, a medical slap, the staff. Guess what? It's not me. It's you. You're the problem. You know, I don't know what to tell you. LeBron, I don't want to use the money argument, but, you know, Shaq is right. There's 40 million people not working right now. I bet you if they had to play back-to-back-to-back games for millions of dollars, I bet you they'd do it. I'd do it. I wouldn't be very effective, but I'd take that money. Like, I you know, come on, man. Like, this is ridiculous. You're the GOAT. I'll call you the GOAT, okay? So you're happy now. We're good. Now we're good. Everybody's good. LeBron's the GOAT.
No, exactly.
Like, this is why he's making
you
that argument, TV.
That he's the GOAT so he can get his weight. It sounds like crazy that you're saying that he's the GOAT just so he can get his
exactly.
weight. You need to stop.
Exactly,
this is the villain, Fort City.
No. The villain's saying that facetiously because it's like, that's why he's coming out with these excuses every year. Nobody told you to go film a Space Jam. Nobody told you to go do that. That makes you the GOAT now, right? Like, Michael Jordan is the GOAT. And I don't want to bring this argument up, but he's, you know, LeBron's always looking for an excuse. Looking for a reason to say, oh, well, look at what I have to go through. Like, you know, listen, these injuries are freak injuries. They're not a part of rest. I can't tell you enough. Like, James Harden pulled a hamstring. That could be a part of the rest. The rest that he was taking for the Houston Rockets coming in out of shape and not playing, going to parties to start the season. Right, Sirius? That had nothing to do with him playing back-to-back games. That's the fact that he came into the season out of shape, and he paid for it by the end of the season. So LeBron's argument is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's baseless. It's crying at this point. Go ahead.
You know the funny thing? You know, with as much load management as they do in today's game,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You really cannot sit there and cite the fact that the season started when it did. You know what I'm saying? Because let's keep it a buck. LeBron James, when he got hurt on a freak accident.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And he sat out 25 games, you know what I'm saying, or however much it is. So, you know, I'm sorry, bruh. You know, you're missing with that. You know, I mean, but we're playing ball in 2021. You guys sit out every other game. We got guys that had, you know, they can't play back-to-back built into their contract and shit. Come on now, tighten up, man. Y'all doing the most.
Exactly. And Jordan, what, 98, played every game. Every game at 35. Every game. LeBron, how many games did you play at 35? I'll wait. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, you're right, seriously. The load management. You guys have it built into your contract for load management, and you're still complaining. Like, we're still – and you're getting paid way more. Like, Jordan was the highest-paid player when he retired, average season-wise, at $30 million. What's the supermax for Luka that he can get right now a season? It's 5 years.
It's 175 mil.
Yeah, is it 4 years, 175 or 5? I don't even know what the super, but it's ridiculous.
I think it's 5 years, 175, like, but it's stupid.
We're talking about Dennis Schroeder saying, I want $100 to $120 million. Yeah, I'll wait. I mean, what if the money you guys are getting paid is ridiculous to complain about having to play for that money? I mean, I have to ask you guys, is Dennis Schroeder really? I know Connecticut is about to legalize weed. TP, you know what time it is, right? Connecticut is legalizing weed. Tomorrow's the first day you can carry weed in the state of Connecticut. But I would love to know where Dennis Schroeder is getting his stuff from so I could sell it in Connecticut. Because if you really think you're going to get $100 to $120 million, it's like, was Dr. Evil there when you said that? $1 million. Like, what? What? I hope somebody pays it. I hope he gets it. I'm not going to stop you from getting your money, but, I mean, who would pay that? Eric, would you pay that to bring him back to L.A.?
No, absolutely not. I mean, he's on glue, man, for sure. I mean, look at L.A. I mean, you're going to pay this guy? And he was live. I mean, he displayed his talents and how he plays. He was on the Lakers and could have been a leader and stepped up on that team, and he completely flopped. So, yeah, I mean, teams, I don't see anybody lining up to pay this guy that kind of money.
I mean, you know, I mean, a broken clock is right two times a day, but I think they would throw the clock out if it was right on this one. Because I don't see it happen. TB, are you paying Schroeder $100 to $120 million, his asking price?
Oh, well, he's not coming back to OKC, so I ain't got to worry about it. But the Lakers probably will, because the Lakers are desperate. They need him. They don't have a point guard. They're already talking about getting rid of close to 5 to 7 players that may not be on that Laker roster. Do not be surprised if the Buss family pulls the trigger and makes that happen. They are desperate. They need a point guard, and LeBron can't continue to keep running this show and being Superman. One thing has to give.
I mean,
I got you. I hear you busy. You busy. There's a market for people out there. So believe me, some team will go for them. I mean, money's up now. It's up now, so we'll see.
I don't see it happen.
I don't say there's no way in the world, because I do believe that if the Lakers do anything, again, TP, we talked about this either today or yesterday, you know what I'm saying, but they would sign him and then trade him and try to use the assets to make other moves, but just to outright give him I don't see that happening.
No,
although I see another team.
I think $120 million, he's pushing it. I feel like he's pushing how high he's trying to go, but $100 million, I think it could happen. That's why he turned that 84 down.
I don't
over
see a
4 years.
Give him that though.
I don't know. If I put player A or player B in front of you, like let's just say Steven Adams. Steven Adams got $100 million out of the Thunder in a 4-year contract. I think Dennis Schroeder is a better basketball player than Steven Adams, even though we needed a big, but he ended up getting 100. And now no team wants him. The Pelicans are talking about getting rid of him after they just gave him $27 million in this calendar season. After they just gave him 27 after
question.
He got 100. So it's like looking at Schroeder. Schroeder's the better basketball player. I feel like if he could get that type of money from OKC, I can just imagine what he could pull out of the Lakers if KCP leaves, if Kuzma ends up leaving. I'm trying to think of all of the 5 or 7 players that we have mentioned before, like outside of the network here. But it's like if they are stuck trying to keep a point guard or going into the market going to get one, we'll see what the Lakers do.
But let me ask this question here, TP. And again, I don't recall how you felt about that, but did you like the fact that they gave, you know, Adams that big deal or no?
Oh, hell no. That's what turned him into the diva.
This is
what killed me, like, and this is a personal situation. It's like, you know, when like a big is under the rim under a free throw, and then the ball goes through the goal, and then they take the ball out? Like, would be running up the court talking to whether it was Chris Paul or Schroeder or Russell Westbrook, whoever it was, like talking to them about the play. It's like, dog, get down the floor and set up the play. Like, you're five. Like when I feel like he was getting that type of money that put him in that mindset, like, I could do or say anything I want. And then it's like, once you got to New Orleans, you realize that you're, moderate center. Like, you're 7 feet and you need more in your bag before you can start telling anybody anything. And it was only certain places that they could work. And now he's on an island in New Orleans where Zion is basically trying to help him be something. Like, it's tough. So, like in that retrospect, I don't know which way they go with Steven Adams. But I think he might be moved soon, too. But his market was
there. Do you think it's the fit, TP? Do you think it's the fit in New Orleans? Do you think it's the fit in New Orleans that he?
No, not even just the fit. I feel like Zion is gonna finish at the rim, regardless of what you know. Everybody in the block room was like, he's left handed, he's gonna go left. Let him like try to stop him, and Zion's still gonna get there, and Steven will still be in the area where he's going. It's like it's a log jam. And let alone all he has is like a dual shoulder hook, so he could go over either shoulder and an alley-ooper. Like, you just throw him alley-oop dunks, and that's what he does. It's like his defense declined after he started growing his mustache and his hair out. Once he started doing that, I really feel like that was the diva stage. He stopped playing both sides of the ball, and it hurt him. So I wonder what team will end up picking him up if the Pelicans do move on from him.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they take that contract on. Maybe you have to throw in a player or something like that. I think there is a market for him as a big. You know, he is, maybe in the top half of centers. Like, you know, if there's, you know, cut the centers 50-50, he'd be in that top 50 instead of the bottom 50. But I think it's a fit. I don't think he – playing with Zion on the low block, I don't think it works for him. So we'll see. You know, it's an interesting point. But Dennis Schroeder, I hope you get your money. I just – 4 years, $100 million, $25 million a year. I think he's getting 75 at the most. I think 75 to 80 is probably the most he would get, especially coming off the playoff performance that he had where, to your guys' point, he completely disappeared. But you're here at the Caller's Cookout, the villain, TP Timeless, the superhero, Sirius himself, and Big E, Eazy-E calling on. The call number 929-477-2759. We're with you for another hour or so, talking some basketball. I actually want to ask you guys a question because, as soon as the playoffs are over, we're rolling right into the Olympics, and I love watching Summer Olympics, the Summer Games, and basketball. I think the international game has gotten so much better. You have stars from all over the globe now. They make for some interesting games, even though usually the USA from 1 to 12 are a better team. There are some good international ball clubs, and it does make for good competition. The U.S. team did announce their roster, LeBron James deciding for the second year not to play. James Harden pulling out because of that hamstring injury. He probably needs the time to get in shape. Instead of going to play for Team USA. But Kevin Durant, he's going to be on the team looking for his third gold medal. Draymond Green is the other returning player from from 2016's gold medal team. But there are some names in here, some interesting names, and a couple, maybe some surprises. Zach LaVine getting the nod. Jeremy Grant, who I think Kevin Durant pushed for to get on the roster, is on there. Damian Lillard making his first appearance. Bradley Beal, Bam Adebayo, Jason Tatum. Kevin Love. Wow, Kevin Love back at it. And then you got Chris Middleton, Jrue Holiday, and Devin Booker, who are all playing right now in the conference finals, but are on this on the USA team and slated to play in this year's game. So, I mean, I'll start with you, TP. Any surprises on this roster, and do you think any team can compete with this USA team?
Yeah, there's a lot of parity across the board, and as you see teams like countries where Luka's from or Serbia, things of that nature, like it's starting to pick up across the board. So the U.S. can be beaten. I won't say they're invisible any longer. There's no need for Kevin Love to be on that team. And I don't even want to – I mean, well, yeah, we can dig into that. Okay. I don't know what they've seen in the past 4 years to see him be qualified to be representing the United States. I don't see what they've seen in this calendar season that shows me that he's some superstar that we put on the team, or if he has star quality anymore. I think he's a name now, and he's severely injury-prone. So if he gets hurt, then what do you guys do? Like, I don't know what they're thinking, and he's the lone face that causes the question for racial issues. You know what I'm saying? I also have a problem with Draymond Green being there. Draymond Green is a big catalyst to what goes on in Golden State, but I don't think it's a situation where you put him on Team USA where he has issues with teammates already on his own team, which forced the probably captain of this USA team, Kevin Durant, to leave the team. I don't think Draymond is a Team USA player. I mean, he plays strong defense within the Warriors scheme, but I don't know if you could re-scheme his situation while they're addressing the world. And the Jeremy Grant situation, I mean, he balled out in Detroit. He balled out in Detroit for 1 year. Like, and this is a year where everybody can, or any player could go to the Pistons and play well because there's a green light for everybody. Hell, Sadiq Bey just came from Villanova and made a name for himself there, scoring 30-point games, and he's not a 30-point-per-game player while he was in college. So just think about what he was able to do with the Pistons because they were letting anybody do anything there. So I think that they could have gotten better names, at least at those three positions. They do have star quality across the board too, but I think the USA made some questionable moves, and there were some words that were thrown in different venues on how they feel about the Kevin Love situation. I'm appalled on them putting Kevin Love in Team USA, especially he's not played up to par in his last four seasons or this season, let alone when he quit and threw the ball into the other team and didn't care if they scored or not. It's like, I don't want that loser mentality to represent us. That's what they have representing the United States of America. Kevin Love, that guy that quit on a team that he won a championship with. Like, I'm not – no, and I know that's not the same team that he had when LeBron and them were there, but, like, show like yeah. you got some type of fight in you. Like, hell no, I'm not – nah, not at all.
That definitely is a head-scratcher, and I'm glad you brought that up too, but what happened when he threw the ball and everything, pretty much quit on the team. I mean, who's a name that you would have liked to see in that position? Because I guess they were looking for a stretch four or five. Who would you have put in that position other than Kevin Love, TP?
I'd have to, like, you know, think across the board on any four that could stretch the floor out, but it's definitely a bigger name than Kevin Love. And I'm trying to, like, think of the top of my head because they already got Bam in there.
Right.
I can do it as quick as possible. Like, I'm thinking at the tip of my tongue, but I can't get it all out. But I may come
Who'd
up with
say,
a name sooner or later.
PG-13, Paul George.
But I know that no PG okay. was the position. I know he was talking about the stretch four. I had PG for Jeremy Grant, and I was saying PG for that because of redemption, because of what happened to his leg. Like, he won't be able to get a gold medal because of what happened. Like, I would think that would be something that he would like try to redeem himself to do. So. That was at the three, but I thought he was talking about the four. But if that's the case, then I'll give you everything. The Draymond Green.
Yeah, give me
whoever
you think.
No, well, PG for the three for Jeremy Grant's position.
Yep.
Like,
okay.
Like, Jeremy Grant is a high flyer, and he's been reluctantly hitting shots this year. Like, he was missing, like, bad in Denver when he was with the Nuggets last year. That's why the Nuggets moved on from him, and they're still scarce on MPJ. So, like, that's a whole nother scenario. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to really rack my brain across the board, big wise. Houston or Christian Wood.
Tricky.
Christian Wood. Christian Wood would be a good name. Christian Wood would be a big name. You use Christian Wood.
Okay.
That kid has played awesome with the Rockets and where he's been. Another big that we could think. Nah, Joe Valis from another country.
Hey, what timeless? What do you think about maybe Rudy Gobert? Would that be a
Nah.
He's from France.
Oh,
okay. It's hard to think.
I just wasn't prepared to think of these positions. I had names while I was in the barbershop. I had all of the names for each position, but I wasn't ready to come up with them. I'm going to come up with them. Go around the board, and then I'll hear what they say, and I'll go off of that, too.
Absolutely. Okay, so, I mean Sirius, I'll come to you. I mean, what do you think about the roster and obviously the names that TP threw out, Draymond Green, Kevin Love, and Jeremy Grant. If anybody, who would you have thought that to replace those guys? And I know you threw out PG was an interesting name, to say the least. Anybody else that you could think of that you would throw out there?
Okay, so let's do this. So Drew Holiday, he's gone. He's gone. I don't know why he's even here. Draymond Green, he's gone. Jeremy Grant, he's gone.
Okay.
Chris Middleton, he's gone.
Okay.
Here's the thing, like,
okay.
we have a great C team right now that we're sending over there to compete in Tokyo. You know what I'm saying? Clearly, you know, the best of the best, you know, that we could send over there or taking the time off for whatever reason, you know, but I digress, you know, or they're hurt. But Chris Middleton, I'm sorry, like, no, be gone with you. If I'm looking for somebody at the two spot, he's rehabbing more than likely. I was going to say Donovan Mitchell, but he's rehabbing. Let's see. Trey Young would probably be somebody I would send over there. Jimmy Butler, somebody who has had USA basketball experience. Hell, Russell Westbrook has had USA basketball experience. Devin Booker's on the way over there. CP3, another veteran, USA basketball experience.
Now, we don't know if they wanted to go. We got to be fair. We don't know if they wanted to go, if they backed out. So some of those names, I agree with you.
That's the thing. Like, I'm sure there's some backstory there, but at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, we have a good B squad. And, again, I'm not picking them to lose. But in years past, when we were sending, you know, LeBron's, you know, and KD and Kobe and D-Wade, I mean, there was no chance in hell that they were losing the game, let alone, you know. But right now, this team can be beat. This team can be beat. I mean, I like Jason Tatum, you know, going. But, again, this team can be beat. And I don't like that. Now, again, I'm picking them to win it, but – hell, Devin Booker's right now competing in a Western Conference Finals. You know, if the NBA Finals and go all the way to Game 7, the Game 7 ends on July 22nd. They play their first game in Tokyo July 23rd.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, how's he going to be? If Milwaukee pulls off an upset, same situation. Kevin Love and Monte doesn't need to be on this list.
I did
see some video of him, you know, working on his jumper and this, that, and the third. But if you can create a video and create a montage of you working on your jumper and trying to get yourself in the best of shape to compete in Tokyo for our country, you should have been doing that for your team, regardless of the situation that they're in. You know what I'm saying?
I totally agree.
I'm gonna leave that alone because, again, me and TP was in the barbershop and it got heated in there about that earlier this afternoon. But with that being said, I do expect us to win. I like the fact that Bradley Beal's competing. Again, Bam Adebayo, again, he's a big. And, again, I understand why they got him there. But, I mean, I want to be optimistic. But, we can't look at this roster as basketball fans and be excited about what we're sending over there outside of, you know, KD, Dev Booker, and Dame Dalla.
I'm glad he got on the roster. I'm glad he's on it. I you know, salute to him, you know, his first time going. I think he's starting to get that respect that he definitely deserves. So I agree with you there. I mean, you know, listen, there's names. Why isn't Zion going? I know he's probably not a fit because you need that stretch to keep his weight
that
can
shoot.
That
was in my head. It was Zion.
Yeah.
Zion was
the
name
I put
for Kevin Love. That's what I said.
The paint is a little wider. You do need bigs that can stretch the floor and shoot in international play. It's a different game than the NBA game, but why not Zion? That's box office right there. To me, even if you take his teammate, Brandon Ingram, I think that's a better fit than
Kevin Love. That steals from Zion stardom, too. Like, in his international reach, this picture, everybody that would come to see him come dunk on everybody, like, everybody would go see that. Why are you stealing from
him?
For Kevin Love, that he's 33. Kevin Love is, what, 33 years old, 34? And what is he there for?
You know,
just to be your other guy that could defend other tall players? Like, that's – no, come on.
You know what I think? You know what I think the reason for that is, TP, is, you know, Kevin Love has been in the USA basketball program. And so I guess essentially they went to the people that have been in that program
before
they reached out. And,
yeah, but Zion played in the under 18 league too, internationally.
Yeah,
Is he on the select team, TP? I'm not certain on which team it was, but he's been on that, and we've seen Christian Laettner do it. So like I'm stop. I'm sorry that I'm going here, Sports City. I will apologize before I say it. Jalen Rose said the word tokenism. And that's exactly what the heck happened. You're stealing from a kid that's trying to grow. You're stealing.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Why is Lamelo going?
No, Carmelo. Anthony. No, stop.
You can't keep putting all these old bums out there. Stop that. Enough is enough.
The hoodie Mello, right?
That dude is a rum pum 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 pum. He's a bum. Stop that.
You know, and I think the way that they did it when the USA finished in, with the bronze in 2008, I think it was, or 2004. I think it was 2004. They put those rules into place, to your point, TP, where you have to be in the program for USA Ball to be eligible to be on the roster. So I don't know if Zion's on there, but I'm pretty sure I got to pull the roster. I don't know if he's on the select team. I know Anthony Edwards and LaMelo Ball got put on that team. I don't know who else is on there. I got to double check it. Jerry Colangelo kind of runs that thing, but Zion or Ingram is a better – even Marvin Bagley Jr., the third, is a better option than Kevin. Eric, I'd love to get your opinion on USA basketball, and then we can talk some NBA playoffs. What do you think about the roster? Any names that we throw out that you agree with, disagree with, if you had any new ones? I'd love to hear your thoughts on the roster constructed for the USA basketball team.
Yeah, for sure. And, I'm going to agree with the panel here. Plain and simple, Draymond Green and Kevin Love should definitely not be on the team. And Zion, he's one of the biggest ones that, why isn't he on the team? This guy can dominate. He's electrifying. And we got Kevin Love and Draymond Green, when we could either have him. Julius Randle would have been a nice, slot in. John Collins, even from the Hawks. Donovan Mitchell.
Yes, I was going to say that, too.
You know what I mean? So I'm looking at that like, why aren't these guys there? But, we got a decent team. It's definitely a beatable team. Like Timeless said, there's a lot of competition worldwide in basketball now. It's gaining traction. But we got Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, Jason Tatum. Those guys are bona fide superstars. And it'll be fun to watch, but it's a head-scratcher. Kevin Love, come on, gentlemen. How many games has this guy played in 4 years? Like 60? So, let's get real here. He definitely shouldn't be on the team.
I think his last Olympic was 2012. I don't get it. I love the John Collins name. I think he should have got consideration as well. He's playing himself into a big contract as opposed to Schroeder playing himself out of a contract. John Collins is going to get that money. He bet on himself.
Why is
and he's going to get paid. Thank you, sir.
Are y'all watching this?
No, what happened? I had my back to the game.
But never mind. I missed it. I was talking reckless. So long story short, Patrick Beverly went to go block DeAndre Ayton, shot and smacked him in his head. So DeAndre Ayton is laying on the ground. I thought he was milking it, so I just saw a replay.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, Ayton's a beast. I would love to see him on USA team, but he's not a fit. Those traditional centers really kind of get beat up in that game, stretching the floor and everything. So, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I'm still going to watch. It's still fun. I love watching the Olympics. I love watching all the games for the Olympics. It's a fun time. Soccer is really fun to watch. I like the wrestling, the weightlifting, the obviously track and field. Summer games are really fun. We missed it last year, and I'm glad it's going off this year in Tokyo. But, yeah, calling number 929-477-2759. You're here with the chefs on the Callers Cookout. The villain, TP Timeless, Sirius, my new nemesis, and Big E, Eazy-E. You know, so let's talk some NBA basketball. TP, which one do you want to go to first? I'll let you take the stove. You can cook it up for us on this one if you wanna take over.
I guess we just talk about the massacre that Elway. I see how he hit him in the head too.
Yeah,
I guess
he did hit him pretty good.
I could talk about the massacre that happened yesterday with Atlanta taking care of business and Giannis hyperextending his leg. And the crazy part about that is like there's no structural damage, so they're saying that he's doubtful for the next game. But that's a $200-plus million investment. I think they need to watch that as best as possible. But they are at the doorstep of the NBA Finals, so this is making it pretty critical because Trey just rolled his ankle up on a referee. So there's injuries across the board, but if this goes down right, if Atlanta takes care of business, they should be able to get out of here. But there's one person that I'm focused on, similar to the way that I'm focused on a player here in the game that we're watching here, but I'll wait till we get there. And that's Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton, you are a big name in Wisconsin. They give you big money to do your thing. Go out there and play ball. This is your time to make a name for yourself outside of what they've already given you. There's no more excuses. Giannis isn't there anymore, well, for the duration of how long this injury has him out. You have to go out there and be this guy. It can't be those days that you're there, there's days that you're not. Like, no, this is when this team needs you more than ever. And I don't want to be brutal, but I have to. I don't think anything less than 26 points on the next game or so, however long Giannis is out, is what everything has to be over above 26 because you're a shooter. I'm not looking at you as being a stopper defensively. You could do what you can, stay in front of people, do it the best you can on the defensive side of the ball. But offensively, you have to try and take over. You have to be that guy right now. And anything under 26 points, I question, and especially if you lose or if you're having a bad shooting night. And I know shooters shoot, but this is going back to Milwaukee. You got to be comfortable. You got to be the guy that people voted for you to be an all-star. You got to play that type of basketball now. Enough is enough.
Jrue Holiday, you got paid to come in here and play a little basketball too. You mind playing? I hope he shows up. They're going to need you. I think, what do you say, 26 points for Middleton? I'm thinking like 36. Like, he's got to come out of his bag, and he's got to pull out all the tricks to make sure this team wins. I mean, I could bring this to you, TP, or bring it around the kitchen. What team is in more trouble without their superstar? Milwaukee without Giannis or Atlanta without Trae Young?
That's not even a real question. Stop right there. No, that's not even a question. Don't do that. If you really think Trae Young is bigger to his team comparison to Giannis, no way. No
how. No, I'm not saying, like, I'm just saying what team is in more trouble without the superstar? Is it Milwaukee or Atlanta?
That answer is still going to remain the Bucks. The Bucks are there all for Giannis. They are there because of Giannis. Budenholzer is not that coach that's going to coach his way through this madness. I mean, it can happen, and I know karma waits for me to mess up, but I don't have confidence in Budenholzer to prove this wrong. Like, and watch something crazy happen. They'd be like, TP, you said, I know, it's going to happen to me because I'm talking junk. But historically,
I agree with you, TP, because I think Nate McMillan is a better coach than Budenholzer. And I think Lou Williams, you know, he's making people regret that they traded him out of L.A. to go to Atlanta. And he's a backup point guard that can give a lot of team fits. And now he's putting him in the starting lineup to cook, and he can do it. So, I mean, serious, talk to me about this series. It's the best of three now, Milwaukee and Atlanta. Do you think what team is in more trouble without their superstar? And who do you think needs to step up big going forward for their team to advance to the finals?
You know, honestly, I've been saying this all day. You know, I think the series is damn near over, especially with the hyperextension, especially with the hyperextension of Giannis. You know, I don't expect him to play game five, and I don't expect him to play game six. You know what I'm saying? A hyperextension, you know what I'm saying, if it's a legit hyperextension, you got to sit your ass down for at least a week.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? To get that same time to heal. And game five is tomorrow, you know, with game six, you know, being Saturday. You know what I'm saying? So if the Bucks are lucky enough to get to a game seven, he could, you know, get back in time for that. But I just don't see a way. I don't see a path for that, because in order for the Bucks to do that, the team would have to do something it hasn't had to do all year, and that's playing without Giannis. Like, here's the thing. The Atlanta Hawks have played without Trae Young for a significant period of time this year. You know what I'm saying? They have a legitimate backup point guard and Lemon
right.
Lou, who, you know what I'm saying, has been here before. Like, a homie on the barbershop said this today, and I forgot who it was, but I'll give him credit. You know what I'm saying? You take Trae Young off this roster or put him on the bench, you know, McMillan is coming off the rip with veterans. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? So these are cats who have been here before and done that, wore the T-shirt so many times that say that they're using it as muscle shirts now. You know what I'm saying? Case can't be made, you know what I'm saying, with reserves and things of that nature for the Milwaukee Bucks. And now you're trying to depend on, you know, hot or cold Chris Middleton to carry you. You know what I'm saying? Like, we saw him go and Fuego, you know, in game three and go for, you know, 40-some-odd points and score 20-some-odd in a quarter. But we saw what he did in last night's game. He was MIA. You know what I'm saying? So you expect me to believe that now that Giannis is out and the whole brunt of your team's franchise advancing or not rest on your shoulder, you expect us to believe that you can shoulder that by yourself, and you can't do that with, you know, the two-time MVP there with you? You're wanting Drew Holiday to step up and, you know, kind of give you what he gave you in game one, when he hasn't done that throughout the duration of these playoffs? You know what I'm saying? P.J. Tucker can hit a corner three, but hello. You run P.J. Tucker off the three-point line, this man struggles to make layups. Nah, man, it's a wrap. It's a wrap, if you ask me, which is interesting, because I did have the Milwaukee Bucks advancing, because I just thought that Giannis would just overpower them. But, you know, Nate McMillan, again, is a guy who took over for Lloyd Pierce, and he is coaching his tail off. He's gotten his team to believe. And before somebody sits there and tries to comfort me and say, well, the reason why the Bucks were up so much is because Giannis got hurt. Giannis got hurt a couple minutes into the third quarter. They didn't hold a lead that whole game. If you're the Milwaukee Bucks and you know Trae Young is out, why didn't you come out in quarter one and quarter two and step on their flipping necks and make sure that if something like this happened, you had enough buffering and enough breathing to sustain and hold on and still you were game? They didn't do that. So now you find yourself in a position to where you're trying to count on cats who haven't done it to try to do something. Nah, you're messing with that. Milwaukee, it's a wrap. Atlanta's going to win the next two in advance, and it's going to be the Trae Young, Chris Paul NBA Finals, which should be interesting.
I mean, I'm glad you said it, because game four was a laugher, and that's with Giannis on the court. Okay, they were down by double digits with Giannis on the court. And Trae Young did not play that whole game. He didn't go out in the third quarter like Giannis did. He did not play. And even though you're on the road, that's a wounded team with their superstar not playing. And the fact that you didn't come out with more, I don't know, just come out with more aggression, more sense of urgency, and with that killer instinct bothers me. And that's the bigger concern to me than not having Giannis or Budenholzer getting out coached or what have you, or Drew Holiday, you know, collecting a check but not really doing much other than that. We're talking about a team that shouldn't have been on the court with you, and they shot you out of their building. Eric, I mean, what do you think about the Hawks and the Bucks series? Is there concern, like Sirius said? Is it over, can they make this a series? Can they get this series, I don't know, back to, if they lose game five, back home, whatever, what have you, can they get to the finals? If you're there, you're on mute. Wow, did we lose Eric? Probably did. Yeah, I mean, it's a problem for me. It's a big problem for me that we're talking about it, you know, a team that – how do you not come out with a sense of urgency? How does Chris Middleton come out with these 40-point games and then disappear the next? He's the Batman on this team. Giannis is the Robin as far as closers and finishing out games, and he's too inconsistent to be that guy. That's a problem for me. Can you trust him to be, you know, a dominant scorer and put your team on your shoulders like Kevin Durant did for the Nets in those last couple of games in that series? I don't think so. I mean, Lou Williams can go in his bag and go off. I mean, you're talking about Herter and Bogdanović and Gallinari and company shooting the lights out. The Hawks are deep. They're a good, talented team. They're not here because they had some good matchups against the Knicks and against the Sixers. They're a damn good basketball team. So I question, to your point, Sirius, if the Bucks can do it. That's even with Giannis on the court. Without him, I don't know. It's going to get ugly. But, I mean, I don't know if anybody else has any opinions on that, or we can move to the game at hand right now, the game that's going on in the Western Conference.
No, I think we could go. I mean, unless you get Eric back here. If Eric is still there, then yeah. But if not, then we could go to the situation at hand here.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about it. It's halftime. The score is 63-57. I didn't catch the score before it went
66,
off.
66-57.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I mean, you know, the Clippers, you know, keeping it close. Again, the Suns, you know, had their chance to close out the series, you know, at home, put their foot on their throat and take them out, and they couldn't get the job done. Playoff P was amazing, a career playoff high, had an electric third quarter, pushed that team into a game six, and here we are in L.A. They're behind, but the game's close. TP, talk to me about the Clippers Suns, man. Are you concerned that the Clippers can, you know, I mean, the Suns can close this thing out? Or do you think, you know, the Clippers, they've kind of been going down 2-0 in the series, fighting their way back in? You know, maybe they've kind of rubbed that genie a little bit too much and they're running out of luck.
The Suns need to close this out today. They're up 9. They got a decent lead. I don't want to say, like, favorable or anything, but decent. And it's manageable because, you know, the Clippers are going to come out of that locker room firing, guns a-blazing. They have to go into this locker room, and whatever they're being told by Monty Williams, execute and kill the Clippers. They cannot let the Clippers win this game, go into Phoenix after they already beat them in Phoenix before and have momentum to get them in Game 7. This would be the most epic collapse in NBA history. I said it. This would be the most epic collapse in NBA history. Chris Paul is a legendary point guard and will probably never get to an NBA final if he cannot seal the deal now.
So you think if it goes to Game 7, they're not winning in Game 7? That's what you think?
If it goes Game 7, they'll be too comfortable being in Phoenix
and I don't think they have enough experience to, like, nail them down. The Clippers are vulnerable right now. They got to take advantage of while Kawhi is out. And they found something new with DeMarcus. Like, DeMarcus has actually been a factor being on the floor.
Absolutely.
I don't know why Ty Lue has not used him, but now he's big for this team. So I don't know which way they got to go, but I know that they need to take advantage of the situation and close the Clippers out today. If they let the Clippers win, the Clippers are going to believe that they could get Game 7 because they've done it before all throughout the past season or two of getting the job done. And Ty Lue's been here before, too, with the Cleveland Cavalier team. Different players, but it's the same scenario. So don't let this happen. They have to close out. But I feel there's going to be a Game 7 anyway, just to heighten that hysteria in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I like Monty Williams, but Ty Lue is proving that he's one of the better coaches that should have been the head coach in for the Lakers. And is a damn good coach without LeBron. I don't care what anybody says. So I tend to agree. I think, and it's unfortunate because Chris Paul has that playoff reputation of, you know, coming up short, blowing 3-1 leads. I don't know. If he doesn't get it done now, I don't know if he's ever going to get it done. Like, I really don't. And it's sad because a couple, you know, after, you know, game two, we were celebrating this guy and saying he's going to get to his first finals and, like, he could probably push into the top five of point guards all time. And now we're talking about, I don't know, man. It's just another playoff disaster. I hope not. I mean, I really like Chris Paul, but I agree. I think they had their chance in game five, and if they don't win this game tonight, it's going to get into their head, and they're a young team. I think it's going to affect them. Serious, I'd love to get your opinion on the Clippers. I like the move of bringing in Boogie. I think he's paid off. I think Ty Lue is pressing the right buttons and has his team, you know, even though they're down right now, I think they're pushing – they're pushing the Suns to the limit. What do you think is going to happen right now in L.A.?
You know, here's a story of the first half, right? We've all been to barbecues, right? And we're sitting there, you know, we got our beverage in hand. We're trying to eat the potato salad and the collard greens, you know, saying we're trying to get a burger and a dog. And we're constantly flinging at our face to get the gnat out the way because it's annoying as crap. That is the LA Clippers right now. Patrick Beverly is a nuisance on the floor. First and foremost, he is second in the team in scoring right now with 11. He's getting in the middle of things, blocking shots, committing fouls, jawing at CP3, jawing at Devin Booker. And honestly, if I'm a Clipper fan, I am comfortable where I'm at right now, only down 9, because Paul George, after his heroic game five antics, this dude right now has 6 points. 6. In 20 minutes of basketball, he has 6 points. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we all expected him to kind of rise to the occasion. Now, granted, he went off in the second half of game five, and, you know, there's no reason as to why he can't or won't, you know, get into that mode now. But once again, you've backed your team into a corner. You put yourself in a deficit to which you need a heroic, you know, effort to climb yourself out of it. You know, I don't know how many more times you can continue to go to the well and come up, you know, with gold. I believe that the Clippers are asking too much of themselves right now. I mean, once again, there's a whole second half to play. Games are not won in the first half. So I do expect that this Clippers team to come out, like TP said, guns blazing, and see what's up. But if you're looking at the flip side, you get balanced scoring from everybody on the Suns. They're staying attached, they're staying engaged. And I do believe that the Suns find a way to close this out here because, once again, you don't want to have a game seven. Well, I don't care if it's on your home floor or not. Anything wonky can happen in game seven. We've all played in them. We've all seen it. Our teams have maybe except for – no, the Knicks have played in the game seven. They haven't fared well. So with that being said, game seven is something that you don't want to see. So I think they close them out here and, you know, kind of get the rest of that needed to get ready for NBA Finals, man, because I do believe, again, that the Eastern Conference is going to end in six. But if you can end it here and kind of get the rest before the NBA Finals start, you do that.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think we're all saying the same thing. Like, I don't think they want to go to a game seven. I don't think the Suns want to see the Clippers in a game seven. And to your point, you know, PG-13 is having a quiet first half. That can't last. And if it does, then they're not going to win this game. But I expect him to come out, get into his playoff bag, and really, you know, pull his team to make this a close game. I think, to your point, they're not down by very much right now. So it's a 9-point lead, you know, that they're 9 points that they're down at home. So we'll see if they can get back into this game and make it a game. The Suns are
young.
That's all ball. What's that? Oh, the
I'm sorry.
That block?
The block there. Yeah, it's all ball.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he got ball. I think he hit him on the elbow though, but we'll see. But listen, I expect Playoff P to come out blazing. I think, you know, to your point, the Suns, they just needed to close it out. They had them down 3-1. You don't want them coming back. I mean, Clippers are a tough team. They have a tough coach. They've proven that they can be behind and make a run and get back into it. So you definitely don't want to play with this team, but we'll see. I hope that this doesn't really affect CP3's legacy. I think he is a great point guard. You know, it's not fair how, you know, he kind of gets, I don't know if he just doesn't get appreciated enough for how good of a player he is, but I think, you know, the onus on winning is so important, and he just, you know, doesn't get on that team that really gets over that hump. It's kind of tough for him. It really defines him. So I don't know. It looks like Cliff Paul was out there and not Chris Paul, but I think he's a great player, and I hope he does get his just due. But we got Eric back in the building. I'm gonna try and bring him in. Get his opinion on the Clippers and the Suns. Eric, are you with us? I can hear you in the background. Are you there, brother?
Yeah, that was weird. For some reason, you guys couldn't hear me, but yep.
Yeah, talk to me. So, Clippers, Suns, the second half is back underway. Clippers are down by 9, but, talk to me about this series, and do you think the Clippers can get this to a game seven, or you think the Suns will close this out on the road tonight?
I want to think that the Suns are going to close this out. They're a great team, and they've proven us throughout the playoffs. They beat the Lakers and the Nuggets, two of the top teams in the West, even though they were both injured, but nonetheless still the top teams. And if they don't finish the game tonight, it's a big concern going into game seven. You don't want to go into game seven with this Clipper team. Everybody's stepping up. They're getting Terrence Mann. Reggie Jackson's been playing out of his mind. So this could be a very dangerous situation for them if they go into game seven. But with that being said, I see the Suns taking care of business tonight and moving on to the NBA Finals.
All right, so that's one for the Suns. I think we all think the Clippers are going to probably eke it out. But, I mean, that's one for the Suns. I mean, I like what they do. I like Cameron Payne, Devin Booker. He's kind of a little bit inconsistent in these Western Conference Finals. I think it's a big stage, but he's certainly shown that he could do it at all levels. But, you know, he's young, and this is his first time. So that's where you have that veteran leadership in Chris Paul and hopefully he can get them over the hump. But like you said, the Clippers are a tough team, tough-minded. Like Sirius said, Beverly is a nuisance. He really gets under your skin. He gets in your face. Reggie Jackson's a smart player. I think Boogie playing significant minutes is a good thing for the Clippers because I think he can provide some offense on the low block, and also stretch the court. Morrison was huge in Game 5. So if Morris can kind of capture some of that, they're a dangerous team. Anybody that can help Paul George, they've kind of kept it close. Now it's time for the third quarter for Paul George to kind of get in his bag and get this team going. He had a big second half in Game 5. I expect him to have a big second half tonight. We'll see what happens. But, it's going to be – if it is a Game 7, it's going to be fun. The league can always use a Game 7, do or die. It was fun watching that Nets-Bucks Game 7. So, you just love that do or die mentality. So, I would think the Clippers are a team in a Game 7 that's better equipped for that game than the Suns. So, I don't know if anybody else has anything to throw around. TP, if you got something, go for it, my brother.
No, pretty much sold up. That's pretty much all we really got. I mean, we watching into the night of this game and seeing how this goes down. It's pretty compelling how this thing is going down right now, seeing if the Suns could shut this thing down or if the Clippers got another day in life.
Another day in the sun, right? Another day in the sun. But, yeah, I mean, I'm scraping the bottom of the bowl here, trying to get a last scoop, that scoop of goodness. But, I think we've hit it all. I think that's pretty much – I can pretty much say that's another show well done, boys. Thanks for calling in. Unless anybody got anything to throw out there, I am good to turn the light off on the grill, put the cover on, start doing some dishes, and calling it a show. So you guys let me know if you got anything you want to throw out there before we close up tonight.
I think we pretty much covered up everything. I think we're good.
Exactly. Sure. Exactly. So we good. Yeah, but real quick, Lakers finalizing the deal to hire Fizdale as an assistant coach. Congratulations to Fizdale. Good coach. Good guy. Took a year off from the after he left the Knicks. He lands back in with LeBron James, so that's a good look for him. We'll see how that kind of affects Lakertown. With Fogle being a defensive-minded coach and Fizdale being a defensive-minded coach, we'll see how that works out. Eric, I don't know if you saw that. Did you have an opinion on that? But if not, we can call it a day.
Yeah, I just think it was replacing Jason Kidd, a quick little plug-up. So we'll have to see how much or how significant it really will be.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the coaching carousel is starting to move. Only two jobs left, I think, Washington and Orlando. So we'll see how that nets out. I don't see Becky Hammon getting one of those jobs. I honestly think she's going to be the coach in San Antonio when Pop calls it a career. There's been some controversy coming out that, she interviewed well in Portland, but there's some rumors coming out about how she interacts with players or staff or something like that when they did some more investigating on her. I think it's kind of smoke. I honestly think she's going to be a coach, and I just think it's going to be in San Antonio and just waiting for Pop to kind of move out of the way. So, I didn't get to say it on this show or any show. Congratulations to Chauncey Billups. Well-deserved. Glad he's got it. Congratulations to Jason Kidd coaching in Dallas. I think Dallas has more problems than we're not aware of because everybody's leaving, the GM and the coach. Luka Doncic, I don't know, not getting along with the other star there. There's, where there's smoke, there's fire. So we'll see how that all nets out. But, yeah, another good show. Eric, give me a quick plug as we close up the kitchen.
As always, it's a pleasure, gentlemen. Great show tonight on the Caller's Cookout. Check us out, sportscitychefs.com. Get that new merchandise. Get out, represent. And we appreciate all the listeners and supporters out there. Everyone have a blessed night.
Absolutely, absolutely. Sirius, we didn't actually fight today. That's actually good. I think we're growing. I think we're growing. So I'll give you the floor. The floor is yours. Give me a plug as we get out of here in the caller's cookout.
You know what? I just felt that. My body just felt that, and I think I'm about to be sick. You know, I don't like this feeling. I don't like this feeling, man. I'm about to walk into my fridge and get a bottle of Pepto, you know, to clear my ailment because this ain't right. With that being said, man, it's such a privilege to be here with you guys on another edition of the Carlos Cookout, man. Definitely, man, check out the merch and, you know, shout out to all those who's rocking with us, whether you're new or returning. You got some big things on the horizon, man. I'm excited just to, you know, be an integral part of making this thing go, man. So with that being said, man, your boy Sirius is gone. We'll talk to you guys later.
All right, Sirius. I know you love me, though. You know, you must love me, like Jay-Z said. You must love me. But listen, I couldn't agree more. Get to the site. The blogs, the interviews, the merch, you know, got some new merch coming, hopefully a hat coming pretty soon. You know, we're working on that with the new logo. So get out there and support. We're doing big things, new hosts, new shows, new co-hosts with TP on the Sunday brunch, doing big things there. Tomorrow night, the baseball buffet, talking some baseball. My Yankees look good today and yesterday, but we're in a rain delay, so. But it's, you know, it's trouble in New York. Yankees stink right now, man. Even Brian Cashman said, we suck right now. And when Brian Cashman says that, you know we're in trouble. So Yankee talk is very minimal right now, that Yankee talk. I know TP's loving that. But, yeah, listen, support the baseball buffet with Dave and Nate tomorrow. And just support Sports City. We're doing big things. We love doing this. We do this for you guys. So. With that being said, TP Timeless, you know what to do. Take us home, brother. Take us home.
You already know. Like I said, get to the website, check out the blogs, the interviews, the chefs. We got interesting merch coming around. We got to get this out the door as best as possible. Thank you for everybody that has been supporting us. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, chefs. Chef, Sports City, Kaboom, Sports City chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon, they well in tune, blown like a flower in June, Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom, so tell a friend it's the Sports City chefs again, pay attention, tune in, we on the set again, Sports City, Chef. Yeah. Cabin. Taj.
Woo! Connecticut.